If you would, and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 20, but our sermon focus verses will be 18 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 12 to 20. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I might show all long suffering as a pattern on him for everlasting life. Now, immortal, invisible, to God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge, Timothy, according to the concerning you, that by a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have in the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I learn not to blaspheme. Let us pray. Father God, for you to speak to us through your word and your spirit, through the reading and preaching of your word, that we might hear your counsel and hear your words and seek to obey them by your power. We ask, Lord, that you would enable us to do this. Speak to us, Lord, that we may hear and obey. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I know that you know the Christian life is a battle. And sometimes the enemy is more active in our life than he is at other times. But one thing for sure we can know is that we are always in a battle in this life. And the enemy is always seeking to tear us down, seeking to defeat us, seeking to destroy us. That's the real situation on the ground. That's what you face on a day-to-day basis. That is why the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, the Father, to deliver them from the evil one, because they would always be under the attack from the evil one. And you only need deliverance if someone is seeking to cast has already done that. The Apostle Peter recognized this battle was going on when in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Peter knew there was a battle going on. He knew who the enemy was, and he knew what the enemy was doing. Christians that we face, as he wrote of it many times, especially in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13, saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not but powers against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And Jesus himself said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." All these words, they are fighting words. They are words that speak of waging war. And so, now, having come from the Lord's table, having been fed and nourished and strengthened in our faith, is not the time to let our guard down. We have been nourished in our faith for a reason, that we may be able to battle, to stand strong against the evil attacks and against the evil one. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, Paul is speaking directly to Timothy, and he says, "So, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy." And all these instructions that he is giving to Timothy are not just for Timothy, but for Timothy to also teach the church, to instruct the church in how we are to live in the household of God. And so Paul hears Paul, believes Paul, and obeys Paul's message to him personally, but doesn't communicate that message, transmit that message, and teach that message to the church, then he's missing his assignment. He's missing his appointment. When we take the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles Peter and Paul, we can see that it's not just Timothy who must wage warfare. It's not just other pastors and shepherds who must wage warfare. But it's all of God's church who must wage the warfare and fight the good fight. Part of living in the household of God is fighting in the good fight and waging the good warfare. We're all in it. It's just a matter of what we're going to do. Are we going to take up the armor of God? Are we going to put on that armor that's been provided to us so that we may wage the good fight? As we leave the Lord's table, as we are fed and nourished, let us take up that thought. Let us prepare ourselves with the sword and the spirit to wage war. Because you are in a war. And as great and wonderful a blessing as it is to come to the Lord's table, I assure you, the devil doesn't say, "I better take a break from those people and back off a little bit because they're really prepared now. They're really fed, they're really strengthened, and they're really nourished." He doesn't say that. He will seek to get at you soon if he hasn't already. He will seek to discourage and to destroy your faith. And so Paul teaches Timothy here how he is to act, and we can take from this how we are to live and walk before the Lord as we come away from the Lord's table. So we're going to look at three things here as we leave the Lord's table, as we are fed and nourished, that we can apply to our lives. And one is to wage war as commanded. To wage war as we have been commanded. We see that in verse 18. Secondly, to wage war by faith. Just as we came to the Lord's table and we partook of the Lord's meal, the Lord's supper, by faith, we must walk away from the table by faith. And we must be living by faith coming away from the table. We'll see that in verse 19. And then we have when others won't. Even when others won't. And Paul calls out a couple of people by name in that regard in verse 19. So first, let's then look at waging war as we have been commanded. And we see this in verse 18, where Paul reminds Timothy of several things about the war he is in. And the first one is that he has a charge that has been committed to him. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy." It's the same idea that he used in verse 1 and verse 3 that we went over a couple of weeks ago. In verse 1, he tells Timothy that Paul himself is an apostle by the commandment of God. He didn't make himself an apostle. Others didn't choose him to be an apostle. But he became an apostle by the commandment of God. He came as one under authority with authority. He wants Timothy to know that life also under authority of a commander. In verse 3 of chapter 1, Paul charges Timothy to charge others not to teach false doctrine. And when we're in verse 3, as one who is delegating, giving orders to someone else as he has received the orders. And so that's what he's doing here with Timothy. He speaks this way again to him. "This charge I commit to you." This charge. Well, what? For Timothy, as a pastor, he had orders given to him. And these orders came from above. And that's what Paul is reminding Timothy of here in verse 18. These orders, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Paul again is saying, "I'm not charging you personally from me to you on my own authority. I'm charging you, reminding you that these orders for you to wage warfare, to wage war, have come from God. He says, from the made concerning you. In the times before we have the New Testament scriptures in printed form, God was still using prophets to speak to his people, to direct his people, to tell them what to do. And this is what Paul is referring to. If you wanted to turn back, we won't at the moment. I'll just read it to you. It's this. Now, I was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucian of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They got assignment through these prophets by the Holy Spirit. Fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas, to which I have called them. And so that's what Paul is probably likely referring to Timothy here in the same way in verse 18, that prophecies were made about him, where he was to serve and what he was to be doing. These things didn't come just from Paul's own mind. Prophecies came, and Paul was reminding Timothy, you have been given this assignment by the Lord God himself. Just as Paul had been given that, as he mentions in verse 1. So this was given to Timothy, just like the Lord spoke to Joshua, telling him to not be afraid, to be of good courage, and to go in and obey his word, to take the land just as God had told him he would do. And so Paul is using this to give Timothy confidence to be in the ministry and to be waging war. That it was based on the source of these orders from these prophecies that came from God's word through the prophets. Just as it did of Paul. In verse 14, Paul says, or verse 1, it says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. There was a time when the prophecies spoke about Timothy and put him in to the ministry. And Paul was reminding Timothy, he may have been a time in a great battle because he told him that he was going to face people who would misuse the word of God. He was going to be dealing with people in the church who would rise up and who would lead people astray. So here he's telling them, fulfill your calling as it has been prophesied from God himself, putting you into the ministry, because that's who has put you there. Well, he's speaking to Timothy there, isn't he? To Timothy, I charge Timothy, son Timothy. He's speaking to him personally. And we've talked about this too. This letter is a personal letter. But it wasn't meant to be a private letter, and it wasn't meant to be only held on by Timothy, but for the church as well. So there's no prophecy about you and me, particularly going out and doing warfare. But remember that these were before the Word of God was given to us in written form. Here they had the Word of God in oral form. And when the Spirit spoke through one of his prophets, this was God's Word. And so while we do not have prophecy speaking directly about us or our assignment in the ministry, we do have God's truth, his written Word. We have it written down in print for us. Because it is something that was not just to be carried out in Timothy's life, but in the church's life, and the church coming after that, and the church coming after that, and into our life, and the church that goes beyond us. We are in a battle, and we are to wage warfare. I've already mentioned a few places where the scriptures speak about Christian warfare, and the Christian being in warfare, letting us know that there is a battle going on in the world against Christ and his kingdom, reminding us that Jesus said, I shall not prevail against it. Speaking of this battle, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does he battle? He uses his people. He uses the church. He uses his word. He uses his spirit. All these things the Lord Jesus Christ uses to wage war. And so we are his soldiers. We are in his army. Just as Timothy was being given orders and delegated from Paul to Timothy, we the church now also have these same orders that we are to wage warfare. Well, how do we do that? How do we fight the good fight? Wage the good warfare. Like every army, the Lord's soldiers have different assignments. Some, like Timothy, are to be pastors and teachers. But there are other assignments as well where the battle is going on. That is in the home, where mothers and fathers must wage warfare by teaching their children. Where mothers and fathers must wage warfare by holding to the standard of God's Word, regardless of how the world or even the church says, come away from the Word and do it like this. We wage warfare by raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You fight while you're doing a job and doing it well, not just for your pay or not just for the approval of your employer, but for the approval of God. That God may be glorified in the way that you work and with the heart attitude that you work as well. Single people, married people, we find our daily lives in it. Whatever situation the Lord has us at the moment, how He calls us to live according to His Word, children, you fight the good fight by obeying your parents according to the Lord. You think you don't have to wait until you get to be, like in our military, until you get to be 17 or 18 to fight war or to enlist in the army. You fight the good fight by being obedient to your parents according to the Lord and according to His Word. That's how you fight. Whatever our age, wherever our situation is, whether we be married or single, in college or at work, whatever it might be, that's our assignment. And that's where we are to wage this good warfare. And the war is all about whether you will believe God and follow Him wherever He has you placed. We wage warfare whenever and wherever we are in life, as Paul says here in verse 19, having faith and a good conscience. And that's the next thing that he tells Timothy. Wage war by holding faith and a good conscience, as he says it here in verse 19. Verse 18, it's been prophesied that you are to wage war, and this is how good conscience. Having faith and a good conscience. Wage war in this way. Now, holding faith or having faith means to keep believing and trusting God in His revelation and truth. He's assuming or making a statement here that Timothy already does this, but it is something that must be kept. It is something that we keep doing. It is not a temporary thing. It is not a momentary thing. We are to keep doing it every day and throughout every moment of our life. And you keep that faith. Keeping that faith is how you fight the good warfare. You keep believing those things revealed in God's Word. And this is right where the warfare is happening. We often refer to the time when Satan was in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he tempted them not to keep believing God. He tempted them to think that God's words were not true, that God didn't have their best interest, that God was holding something back from them. This is where the battle lines are really drawn. Will you believe what God's Word says and practice it? That's keeping the faith. It's not just saying I believe it, but it's also keeping it, keeping the faith in practice. And so every facet of your life, every day of your life, every stage of your life, wherever it is the Lord may have you, that is where the battle will be for you. But the battle line will be, will you keep the faith? Will you keep believing what God has said in His Word? And if you go and you find somebody who has not kept the faith they once professed to, you will find that that's where they lost the battle, at God's Word. where they stopped believing what they once believed, and they turned away from it. And so it's not a matter of whether you are in the war. That is a given by Scripture. It's a matter of whether you will fight and how you will do it. And so you must wage the good warfare by His truth, but you also, Paul says, must wage the good warfare with a good conscience. With a good conscience. The good conscience is a self-evaluation that you are to the revealed Word of God. Keeping the faith, believing, and living it out with good conscience. Does your conscience report to you that you are living according to the Word of the Lord? Is your conscience formed by the Word itself? Where that's how you are evaluating your life. Paul says to Timothy, having these things is how you fight the good warfare, how you wage the good warfare. After listing several parts of the armor of God that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says in verse 16, after listing several, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, Paul is telling us the fiery darts are coming. And you know they are coming because you've already received them. You've already experienced them. But it is by faith to resist those fiery darts, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so we wage this warfare. Not by getting all emotional and all pumped up, but by learning God's Word, hearing God's Word, holding on to the faith, holding on to believing God's Word, and practicing it. It's not a magical formula. It is to hear, it is to believe, and practice. That is how we fight. That is how we wage war. As Paul said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And we don't have to fight fleshly. We fight with truth. We fight by keeping the truth and holding on to the truth. And sometimes you may see others falling away in the battle, falling aside, no longer believing what God's Word teaches. And that's why we have to, as verse 19 will show us, we have even when others won't. Even when others won't. There's nothing more discouraging to a fighting unit, say in a military, in an army or air force or navy or whatever it is, when they begin to see other men in cowardness turn away from the battle. And as one man does it, another does it, and so on. It's so infectious. But you have to be reminded that in the church, there will be people who will drop off. There will be people who will teach false doctrine. There will be people who say, well, you don't have to be so serious about your faith. You don't have to be so concerned about the things of the Lord. And this will be a temptation for you to not be courageous and to not fight the battle by holding on to the faith. And so, as Paul recognizes that here in verse 19, he says, you fight good conscience, which some, having rejected, there'll be some who will reject the things of the faith. There'll be some who will no longer be concerned with the seriousness of truth of God's Word. There'll be some who will say, we can go this route and still please God, even though it's not according to His Word. That is happening, has happened, as Noah's been talking to us about church history. That's been going on in all eras of church history. And here we're looking at one right now in the early days of the New Testament, of the New Testament church. Hymenaeus and Alexander were two of some who were dropping the faith, who were teaching false doctrine, who were not holding on to the truth. Paul was seeing it done right there in the church. He predicted, he prophesied that it would be in the book of Acts. And here he calls out a couple by name who had abandoned the faith, abandoned the truth. They were not holding on to the truth. And if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, you'll see what he's talking about. In verse 16 he says, "But shun profane and priests to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." The impact of these people who would not stand up for truth was already affecting the church, overthrowing the faith of some. And so it's very critical that we as individuals, you as the body of Christ, when you see other people falling, don't look to them, but look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to those who are holding on to the truth. Here, these Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Philetus reject. Do the same. As I mentioned, when one is turns away from the truth, and Paul, even here, in an effort to hold on to the faith, in an effort to keep the faith, in an effort to keep those who are in the faith, to keep holding on to the faith, he says, "These two guys I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." Even here, Paul is fired by church discipline. When it happens, we don't like to see it, but it's part of the warfare because it's part of God's Word. And church discipline is something that long ago has fallen by the wayside in the church. Now when somebody exercises church discipline, it's like, "What? Are you guys really doing that? Who does that?" And that's all part of fighting the warfare. Because in fighting the warfare, we are also seeking to protect the church from these cancerous false teachers. Because it does spread. It spreads like cancer. And we don't want that cancer to remain in the body. You will always have the world fighting against you. You will also at times have those in the church rejecting the faith while posing to be in the faith. That too is going on then, and it still goes on to this day. And so as part of the warfare, we have to watch out for those times when we may be, or you may be, in your situation at work or at home or in the church, the only one who is sticking to the truth. The only one who is holding on to faith by the faith. One of the elements of military warfare is the supply line. It is the means of supplying ammunition, food, and communication. And it's very critical that that supply line be protected. It's one of the things that armies must do, because without it, the military force and power of it will falter. It will fail. And so it is with the Lord's army and in the Lord's warfare. Today you have been fed at the Lord's table. Not in order just to make you feel good, but to be strengthened for the battle in the days ahead. To be strengthened for the days, everyday life that you face warfare, because you're in it. The question is, how will you fight? Will you fight commanded you to do so? Just recently I was talking with someone who said, "I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of the battle." The Lord doesn't give us that option. He calls us to fight. We fight by keeping the faith, not by turning away and rejecting the faith as Hymenaeus and Alexander had done. We fight the good warfare because we have been commanded to do so. Imagine a military person and his superior coming to him, and he gives him all kinds of pieces of armor, and the person receiving that armor says, "What am I supposed to do with this?" You would think that would be ridiculous, because the obvious thing is that when we are given armor, we are given armor to fight. We are given armor to do battle. And that's what Paul is saying here. We are to keep the faith, and that's each one of us. And sometimes it does get lonely. Sometimes you may feel like you're the only one who's sticking to God's truth. And we need to remember that that's not true. The Lord has people everywhere, just like he told his prophet. You're not the only one. I've saved for myself thousands. We have brothers and sisters who are going through much harsher trials and much more difficult trials in their life than we have or we are or may never ever see. And they are fighting and keeping the faith. Even though others may fall on our left and right, we're to keep our head straight on following the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how intense the enemy attacks comes at you, we must keep holding the faith. No matter how many people abandon the faith, as those people who are called out here, we must hold to the faith. And by the faith, I'm talking about the Word of God, the faith that has been delivered to us. No, you haven't been fed today so you can sit back and relax. You've been fed today to strengthen your faith that you may put that faith into practice and wage the good warfare. And we can begin doing that by asking the Lord to do that in us, to be our strength, to be our shield, to give us the necessary weapons and armor to fight the good faith. And by His power then, recognize that the battle is His and the duty to fight is ours. But He has already given us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we leave the Lord's table today. Prepared to fight the good warfare, keeping the faith and a good conscience, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to do it. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we know, Lord, that we do have an enemy, the devil, that old serpent, Satan. We know, Lord, we also have enemies in our own flesh. Things, Lord, in and of ourselves that fight against us. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us and show us, according to your word, how we are to walk before your face. That the meal we have shared together today would not be wasted, but used by your Spirit to strengthen us, that we may wage the good warfare and bring glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name.